Now, we want to hear from you and your view, and we're going to talk about, I suppose, the current state of the world and global conflicts and the actions of the United States. But the United States itself has its own long and interesting history, and one of the formative events in its past was, of course, the United States Civil War, which played out in the 1860s. And of course, it had a huge Irish involvement. And a very interesting piece in the Irish Examiner recently, Damien Shields, he's an author and historian who was part of the National Museum of Ireland team that created the award-winning Soldiers in Chief Military History Exhibition. He's a specialist in military archaeology and has published and lectured internationally on topics such as conflict archaeology and post-excavation process for archaeology and social media. And interesting piece on the US Civil War and new details that have brought through some of the stories of the Kerry men who fought in the bloody and seismic American Civil War. They can now be viewed as part of an interactive map. And Damien Shields is with me on the line. Damien, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Now, we're aware in the last number of years, because of the work that's been done with the Irish Military Pensions Archive and the stories that have been unearthed because of that, about our own Civil War and our own War of Independence and that kind of formative period, really from, I suppose, 1913 to 2023. Is this something similar with regards to the Civil War, that pension claims from Irish and Kerry families have revealed, you know, who fought where and what happened to them?
Yeah, very much so, Jerry. And I think that's the best comparison to make, because we're all so familiar now with the fabulous pensions that have come out regarding our own revolutionary period. But, you know, we know a lot less about 19th century ordinary Irish people during the famine era and things like this, because, you know, we just don't have the records. A lot of the records, of course, going in our own Civil War. But one of the things I've been trying to highlight recently is that there are actually tens of thousands of pension files relating to Irish immigrants, most of them being claimed in America. Irish people tended not to come back once they emigrated. But there's also hundreds and thousands of them, almost certainly, that were actually being claimed in Ireland. And those pensions have unbelievable detail about ordinary Irish people, their lives in places like Kerry before they emigrate, their lives once they emigrate, and then often sad stories relating you know, when someone dies in American service. So that's kind of what I have spent most of the last 15 years working on, is this pension system. And one of the reasons I brought out this interactive map is to try and show people its potential, you know, what it can tell us about Irish people's lives.
Yeah, amazing. And it tells the story. Like, there's one story here that caught me from John C. Courtney from Castle Gregory, the son of Mary. His father died on the 25th of June, 1845, during the Irish famine in Kerry. He emigrated to St. Louis, Missouri, and encouraged his mother to follow him out, as many people did. When he enlisted, he sent her money he received to pay her passage, but she was still en route when he was mortally wounded in Vicksburg. On the 22nd of May, 1863, during the Battle of Vicksburg, the Siege of Vicksburg, I think it was at the time, he died on the 1st of June. She only found out when she arrived. And yet we only know that story because she claimed her pension years later in 1883.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if I could tell you how many times I've come across that happening. We have this image, you know, from films like Gangs in New York, that Irish guys were being duped into serving in the Civil War and stuff. But a lot of them were intentionally enlisting and using the money that they were getting to send for family, sometimes in workhouses, in poor houses, and getting them to come out to America. And of course, in sad scenarios like with John Courtney, he dies before his mother arrives and she ends up going back to Castle Gregory, and the American government pay her money for the rest of her life in Castle Gregory. She receives a payment every 3 months there because of her son's sacrifice in the American military. And you see that again and again and again. I mean, there's another Kerry one there. I'm sure your listeners are very familiar with Paddy Bawn Brosnan, the great Kerry footballer. Paddy Bawn Brosnan probably only grew up in Kerry because his great-grandfather was killed in the American Civil War and the family came back. They actually applied for a pension but didn't get it. But it shows you the impact of that, that I think is kind of largely forgotten in Ireland today. Like, for Munster in particular, counties like Cork and Kerry, American service in the American Civil War is actually the largest service that, in terms of the numbers of people from Kerry who would have ever fought in any conflict, and that includes like the First World War, because of the amount of emigration. But because we're not like directly tied with a lot of them anymore, we don't remember it as well in Ireland, I think, as we might.
Yeah, and these records as well, they go back. It's not just the Civil War. It's all wars they fought in. So the frontier wars that were fought against the Indian tribes, the Indian wars, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, there were Irishmen, there were Kerrymen involved in that. And we know their stories through the pension records.
Yeah, so all the way back, as you say, from the Mexican-American War, there's currently seven, like the map itself on people who are being paid in Ireland is 720 people. But, you know, it is thousands, but they're just quite difficult to locate. But, you know, for example, there's one there, Joanna Barry from Listowel in County Kerry. Her son, John, was killed in a very famous, if you ever go to Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C., there's a big memorial to the USS Maine, which blew up in Havana Harbor in 1898 and killed most of the men on board. And it was actually used as the raison d'etre for the Spanish-American War that broke out. That explosion on the Maine leads to the payment of a load of pensions in Ireland, because there's a load of Irish emigrants who have gone there, whose parents are still there. And these files that then they're claiming, they have to prove to the American government, I'm entitled to this. They're sending in letters that these guys wrote. They're telling you what fields they worked in Kerry before they left, what jobs they did, how much they were earning in Kerry. So all that sort of information is in these files, but usually because of some traumatic event. And so you have a kind of a range of people, like there are veterans who came back, you know, who survived. People are probably familiar with the Irish Brigade, who fought in the American Civil War. Like James Kane in Listowel, County Kerry, was, you know, he lived on Church Street in Listowel until he died there in 1905, carrying the bullet wound in his arm that he got at the Battle of Antietam, the bloodiest day of the Civil War. You have mothers whose sons died in service. You have widows who come back, you know, after the American dream dies because their husband was killed in American service. So you have all this mix of different stories in it. But I'd say really it's the women's stories that are the most powerful, because there's so much information that they have to provide to the American government in the pensions.
Yeah, and the reason why they gave it, much like the story of our own pensions archive, is because this was life or death at the time. It was very important, so they left nothing out. Like, people didn't tend to talk about trauma in their lives, but when it was going to a pensions application, everything was given over to convince the authorities that this is what happened, this is why I'm entitled to the pension.
Everything is given over. So they're telling you if people are enlisting under a different name or it's spelt differently, why it's like that. If there's some bit of Irish in there, they're telling you why the Irish name is different. They're telling you about births, marriages, deaths. There's a very interesting file, you know, on the database, you know, there's only very brief elements, but there's a woman called Eliza Graney who was from Ballinahown just outside Castle Island. And her son, Charles, had been killed at a battle called Gaines Mill in 1862. Now, Eliza had never been outside of Kerry, like, but she gets a pension there. But in her file, they talk about all the neighbours are there. It tells you where all the neighbours from that part of Castle Island have gone to in America. They're giving statements. They're talking about how when the letters are coming back from America, they say the neighbours who went to read the letters for them and everything. So all of this detail about their life in Castle Island is in it. All because her son dies on this battlefield in Virginia, you know, thousands of miles away. So quite incredible detail. And as you say, they're pouring it all in there because they need to prove who they are. And the ones who don't get it normally don't, they can't prove it, you know, and so there are those both sets of files there.
Yeah, yeah. And was this pension worth much? Like, would obviously it was, because it was worthwhile doing for people.
Yeah, so it very much was. So, like, it's in kind of modern terms, if you want to put it that way, it would have been worth for kind of an ordinary labouring working class, say, woman. It would have been worth somewhere over €300 a month, which was a significant amount of money. It's still a decent amount of money today, but a very significant amount of money then. In the 19th century, they tended to say that it equated to about, you know, a third of what a man, a labouring man, could expect to earn in a year. So say if you were a mother or a widow, that's an enormous amount of money in the 19th century to be getting. And if you were a veteran who had been disabled, say shot at Antietam or something, you got higher rates then based on your disability. Because, of course, you know, if you were a labouring man, if you lost the use of an arm or a leg in the 19th century, you were in serious trouble. And so the government would attempt, the US government would attempt to kind of give you some sort of recompense for that. Now, I'm not saying it's not like it was easy to get these. It often took these people years to actually secure the pension. But once they did, it did set them up to give them some security in later life.
And do you think, Damien, that would have been one of the driving factors in people signing up for these fights? Number one, the wages you would get, it was a day's job like any other, although a very dangerous occupation, whether you're fighting in the Mexican-American War or you're fighting in the Civil War, which had a huge level of death and disease and injury. But that if the worst happened to you, you knew your family might be looked after. There was something for them after you that encouraged people to sign up.
Yeah, the main pension system, Jerry, that they brought in, kind of that most of them claimed, even the guys who were earlier, was in 1862. And one of the main reasons they brought it in then was to give that security to try and help get people to volunteer in the army. Was that, oh, listen, if something happens to you, we look after your family and we look after you. So that was one of the motivations. I think there's kind of, there's two different sets of men who were serving in the 19th century. So in the US regulars, so the guys who were, say, out fighting in the West against Native Americans or in the Mexican-American War, they're nearly always purely economic or very largely economic based. That's why they're serving.
Yeah.
The Civil War guys are a bit more of a mix. There's a mix of economic. And then when Irish immigrants went to America, almost the minute they hopped off the boat, they tended to go, well, it's now our duty. This is our country. This is our duty to fight for this country. And so, because they're volunteers, you know. So there's a bit of a mix that way. But economy is always a driving force in a lot of what the Irish guys are doing. So, you know, you look at, they're not from Kerry. There are some guys who fought in say, Native American wars. But there are seven pensions that I've identified so far being paid out to women in Ireland based on men who were killed fighting in that kind of manifest destiny, which I know you know a lot about yourself, obviously, from your
including,
own
back.
So, you know,
including the little bighorn where there was a total destruction of Custer's forces, but a lot of Irishmen died that day.
Yeah, and there's two little bighorn pensions being paid out in Ireland. There are three in the Nez Perce War, from the Nez Perce War, and then and a couple of others, then Apache wars and things like that. So, and then you've got the Mexican-American wars and all of this. And then general service. So you've guys who might go over and they make a career. You know, we all know there's kind of films set in the 19th century of the Irish sergeant who's been in the army for 20 or 30 years, you know. And you get those pensions of these guys who spent 20 or 30 years of a career in the US Army and then they come back in their old age to Ireland. You see guys as well who, you know, may not have had a family support network there. So they might have been in almshouses in America. They might have been in veterans' homes. And you can see that they're coming back to try and get support in their local area. So you have this whole mix of stories and all of them are pouring this information into these files. And the files, some of them run to hundreds of pages of documents. Like, it's quite incredible. They actually would have significantly more information than, say, most of our 20th century Bureau of Military History, the Pensions Bureau from the Revolutionary period do. It's quite staggering, the amount of information in them. I'll give you another example if you want, Jerry, but just to give you the level of detail, it's Mary Horan and her son Dennis, and he enlists in the 8th US Cavalry, right? But he is dead within weeks. He never gets, he was sent to cross to the West, and so they used to go through Nicaragua to do that, and there was a big cholera outbreak, and he dies actually in Virgin Bay, Nicaragua in 1866 on the way out west. But his mother, again, had never left. They were in Boherby in Tralee, and she later claimed her pension in Killorglin as well. But the whole story of their family, how Mary's husband was unable to work and Dennis had to go to work in Tralee from the age of 11, where he worked in the mineral water factory, where he saved money for his parents, for his siblings, one of whom was disabled. And he worked there till he was 24, till he saved the money to go to America to try and get more money back for them. He enlists and then he's dead within weeks. And so, like, but their whole, all the addresses they live in and all of this kind of documentary record is there because of what happened.
Yeah. It's, look, it's fascinating stuff, Damien, and great work on it, by the way. And thanks for talking to us. Listeners want to know, it's IrishAmericanCivilWar.com is Damien's website. Information on the interaction map. Yankee pensioners in Ireland, 1845 to 1905, an interactive map. Brilliant work, Damien, and thanks for taking us through it this morning.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Brilliant stuff. Damien Shields there with us on the line, and it's just an amazing piece of work that he's done. That map, telling that story about that slice of Irish history, Irish American history, Kerry history as well, and the lives, the dramatic lives these people lived, and the money that came from there that kept people going in this country for many years. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. And thanks as well to Alan O'Brien for his work on that piece and research, setting up the piece in the Breda Forest, for alerting us to Damien's work as well.